intellect and there's emotions. And the head is above the heart, right? Unlike an animal, right? An animal stands on all fours, and the head and the heart are on the same dimension, the same dimensional plane. In a human, the head is above the heart, which tells us that in terms of priority, we have to understand and have wisdom and knowledge about things. And that should govern our emotions.
Hi guys, and welcome. This is Soulkissed. I'm your host, Christiana. This is our fifth episode, and on this episode, we have a returning guest, but in a different format. It's Rabbi Leib Chaim. For those of you who remember, he's our guest from just a few episodes ago, and one thing people should know about Rabbi Leib and I is that we keep in touch so often, and every time I'm like struggling with something or I'm going through something or I need guidance in something, I always just reach out to him. And whether it's on WhatsApp or whatever, and he's always available and he always tries helping me learn how to detangle the knotted energy that I have within myself and learning how to discern certain situations. So in this particular episode, we're going to do things a little bit differently because I'm not interviewing him live. It's not a live recording, but rather what we're doing is I'm going to be putting in audio messages from our WhatsApp conversation that we had. This was over a year ago, where I'm asking him about navigating unhealthy patterns that I saw myself getting into. I asked him basically about the situation I found myself a lot in at that chapter of my life where I was giving into unhealthy patterns that I knew were putting me in unhealthy situations with unhealthy people and putting more stress and strain on my life, on my body. And yet I found myself continuously, addictively kind of choosing these sort of addictive patterns, whether it be, you know, not being able to eat healthy, right? Like falling into cravings, or if it was even craving unhealthy relationships, right? And craving unhealthy people and continuously choosing to be around and feed into what a lot of people would say now, toxic relationships in my life at that time. And I saw that I was doing it and I saw that it was happening, and yet I still kept on choosing from that place. Or even on financial levels, we do this also, right? Where we addictively, reactively choose unhealthy financial patterns without taking full responsibility and mature movements and taking mature parameters around our financial situations. All of these things can be tied to a lack of evolution from a more kid consciousness, what I say, like this immature, reactive, emotionally driven part of ourselves that sort of becomes authoritarian sometimes when we follow it. And out of fear of those emotions or fear of that emotional reaction, we sort of listen to it or follow this voice, even though we know it isn't the mature, centered place within ourselves. I think part of, especially for me, what has made this so confusing, and for many of us navigating a spiritual, emotionally driven path, is that we still, as a species, are learning how to properly hold our emotions and our intellect, and when there is the space and the time for one and the other. So what I mean by that is now we see, especially in the spiritual community, people, we're realizing that we need to tap into our more feminine aspects of ourselves, right? Being more in tune with our emotions, that emotions can be a superpower and healing, and they're so beautiful and there's so much depth and wisdom in them. And yet, however, I feel like we're also dipping into the opposite extreme, where before our society was completely shutting out emotions and not following them at all, and there wasn't really space or respect given towards our emotional side of life. Whereas now we're on the opposite extreme, where we give too much voice to our emotions and we are acting too much from an emotional place, where it has now become a reactive, addictive response instead of, or I should just say an addictive reaction. It's really just a reaction. It's like this automated, oh, I'm feeling this now, so I have to act on it. Instead of discernment, instead of tapping into not what just my emotions say, not just what my brain and my logic is telling me, but the centered consciousness within every single person that we have, and being able to choose an elevated response by holding both of these while being centered. And that's a completely different energy. And so I noticed that I think a lot of us end up in unhealthy situations, whether it is unable to follow a healthier lifestyle for yourself or unable to follow a healthy relationship for yourself and just continuously choosing unhealthy people or finances or whatever. This bleeds into so many aspects of our life where we are simply making decisions as a reaction to the feelings that we're feeling, thinking that that is the truth or that is who we are, or just because I'm feeling it now, that's what I want, that's what I need, that's what I that's clearly like the direction that my life needs to go down. And instead, what we talk about in this episode with Rabbi Leib Chaim, what we're talking about is how can we hold our intellect, our mind, and our heart, and hold one in each hand, looking at what both have to say, and being a consciousness that rises above that. So that's what we're going to be talking about in this episode. So this episode is going to go a bit differently. The audio that I have with him is a bit shorter, and I think it would help to explain something. So throughout the episode, I might intervene as I am right now and give some commentary to just further explain the points being made in the audio. And yeah, I really hope you guys like this episode. I hope you enjoy the style of it. Let me know if you guys want more styles like this, because I have so many, and enjoy the episode.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for sending these voice notes and staying in touch on everything. A lot to unpack there, but I think what I would say is that the core of all of these things is putting things in their right place, right? There's intellect and there's emotions. And the head is above the heart, right? Unlike an animal. Right, an animal stands on all fours, and the head and the heart are on the same dimension, the same dimensional plane. In a human, the head is above the heart, which tells us that in terms of priority, we have to understand and have wisdom and knowledge about things, and that should govern our emotions. Right? We have this kind of prima facie assumption that because I feel something, the modern day update to Descartes is, I feel, therefore I am. Not even I think, therefore I am. You know, and we take our emotions very seriously. And the question is, why? Why should we take them so seriously? Why should we take the fact that this makes me nervous so seriously? Why does it make me nervous? What's going on here? Is there really something to be nervous about? And if not, why should I listen to that feeling of nervousness? Why should I listen to that feeling of anxiety? Why should I like and be attracted and drawn emotionally towards someone who I know is wrong for me? Why do I take that attraction so seriously? It's not so serious. It's just like an intermittent fasting, right? The ghrelin pops up, tells the body that you're hungry, even though I have plenty of glucose stores on my body in the fat cells that the body's waiting to unpack, would love to unpack and use, storing them for a rainy day. The ghrelin comes along completely independent of my actual digestive system, and 3 times a day spikes and gives me hunger pains. And it's like totally independent of the fact of how much nutrients I need. And I can just totally ignore it. And the studies show that when you eat or when you don't eat, the ghrelin goes back to baseline an hour later. doesn't matter whether you eat or not. The hunger pain goes away. You just got to get through it. So it's the same thing here. The heart is telling us something. I don't necessarily have to listen to it. I choose to listen to it. And I choose from it because it's something that that works, that makes sense, that's good, that's healthy. I don't just eat cupcakes. I eat delicious food that I know is going to make me feel good, that's going to give me strength. And this is really the dynamic of the child and adult that you're referencing. You know, when Hannah was having her breakdown at the Shabbos table, right? And she gets all upset, and you know, she overreacts, and she has this temper tantrum. You know, it's a childish thing to do, right? Why? You know, she's six, right? There's no 26-year-old that is going to act like that in front of other people at a Shabbos table, you know, that I've ever met. I've just never met anybody who would do that. So an interesting thing from the parenting perspective is it something I need to educate against? Is it something I need to really break her down about to fix her from doing this? Because it's not really something that's going to continue over time, because it's only happening right now when she's six. So if it's just happening when she's six, I don't really have to educate it so hard, because it'll pass. It's just a six-year-old type thing to do, right? Versus taking something that's not yours, stealing. A six-year-old wants to do that, and a 26-year-old wants to do that. So when it comes to moral decisions, the moral challenge exists to the six-year-old the same way it exists to the 26-year-old. In fact, it might even be more challenging for the 26-year-old to not steal, because they have such a much more developed intellect, they can justify it in a whole bunch more ways. So I have to ingrain from a very young age, not don't throw temper tantrums because, you know, you didn't get your doll, because that's going to go away. What I have to ingrain from a very young age is don't take things that aren't yours, because that is never going away. You will always be tempted to take stuff that's not yours. And if I can drill that into your little head at six, well, then when it comes to 26, the challenge is going to be a little bit less. That's really the secret of parenting, that the only thing we're here to do is to educate morality, not really behavior as such. But then go to this level of, you know, why is she acting like that? And the reason she's acting like that is because she has a very strong emotional feeling, and she doesn't have the intellectual capacity to handle it. So it overwhelms her, and she has an emotional overreaction, right? Miriam has that less because she's a little bit more intelligent. She's eight, she's not six. I have that even less because I'm 35, not six, right? So the more intellect I have, the more I know the difference of what I should do and what I shouldn't do, the more I'm able, and even more this, not even just what I should and shouldn't do, what I should and shouldn't feel. I know that I should not feel, you know, overwhelming anger when someone takes, you know, the Frisbee from me. I know that. And so if I feel overwhelming Frisbee when someone, you know, doesn't give me back my Frisbee and Frisbee game, you know, I'm able to overcome my emotions because I know that they're misplaced. And that's why this exercise of write down all the things that are right about this relationship is so valuable. You're going to write down, you're going to look at it objectively, you're going to try to just say, you know, what about this seems right? And really, you know, so, you know, put all the reasons why it's right, and then look at it, and then decide if it's something that's right to pursue, given all the things that are right about it. You know, what's right about avoiding my financial responsibilities? What's right about that? Right? And don't do it cynically. Do it genuinely. What's right about it? I get to maintain the innocence of my childhood. It's a beautiful thing. Right? You're not avoiding taking financial responsibility because you're a loser. You're avoiding taking financial responsibility because You would like to maintain something infinitely pure and precious. Wow. Cool. That is a good reason to avoid dealing with my finances. And then I can decide that the right thing for me to do now is maintaining that feeling of innocence and purity above the dictates of money. Is that something that works for me now where I am in my life? Or am I able to balance that desire with other desires I have, which is to have a successful career and have my finances in order? And I can give up a little bit of that innocence in order to achieve the other things that I want to do. Right? It's not start doing your finances because otherwise you're a bad person. It's like start taking care of your finances because you want something also amazing and beautiful. Not out of fear, out of positive, you know? Because you want to fully actualize yourself. And the only way to do that is to get the house in order. Right. But there are very good reasons to stay oblivious to it all. Here I am in the car going on and on and on. But at least you can listen on 2x speed and have a mini podcast with me right here. Have a great day and let's go.
So one way that I use to talk about all this stuff to make it just simpler for me to understand is through archetypes. And when we handle any situation or any conflict that comes up in our life, there are three different archetypes or different energies that we can come from. And there is the child, the teenager, and the adult. And the child archetype is when we come towards a situation with the energy of being very emotionally reactive. And this is a lot like, you know, you hear people talking about throwing toddler tantrums, and even adults will throw toddler tantrums where we cry, we kick, we scream, we react so viscerally based on our emotions that are completely centered around what we are feeling at the time. If we feel rejected, if we feel hurt, if we feel any sort of pain or loneliness or abandonment or whatever, we will viscerally respond and react. And we will try to get as much attention from the external world to sort of fill in that pain and pacify what we have going on internally. There's no sense of cooperating or mediating yourself internally, and no attempt to try to maturely resolve what's going on within yourself by handling your own internal world as opposed to spewing it out on others externally, right? So that's the first one. And the second one is this teenager energy. When, okay, we're a bit more mature now, we're not necessarily throwing tantrums or having crying fits or whatever to when we're told no, or when we feel abandoned, or when we feel lonely, or whatever. We have a bit more emotional maturity. However, there's different aspects to this, but generally the teenager is when we still haven't found a sense of self yet, and we still have not been able to master our internal emotional world. And so we have this rebellious spirit, right? And everything that we can do is in spite of the authority figure or in spite of what we're being told, and you still haven't come from a place where you are acting authentically. You still aren't acting authentically to yourself because you still haven't developed a sense of self, and because your identity now is in this time of like, I'm just going to oppose the source where I feel opposition to myself from, where I feel controlled or, you know, oppressed or whatever the word is that you want to throw in there. And so we develop this teenager energy where we think that we are claiming our own freedom or
finding ourselves or that's who we really are, but really it is just a reactive opposition to whatever energy we have that we feel controlled by, that we are confronting. And so we have the third energy, the third archetype that we can become. And the third archetype is the adult. The adult is when we see these addictive reactions coming towards us, these temptations, these like addictive pulls towards something, through this example, or when we feel the abandonment or the pain or frustration of life or whatever, and we have harnessed enough maturity within our internal world to be able to look at that and say, like, okay, let me hold this. Let me hear what this part of me has to say. Let me mediate. Like, what does this part of me have to bring to the table? What does it want? What need is trying to be met here? How can I listen to this? And becoming the captain of your ship by using the wisdom and the emotional intellect that you've developed throughout the years. And this energy, some people spend their whole lives, it doesn't matter your age for any of these, some people spend their whole lives living within the child energy or the toddler energy. Sometimes we bounce back and forth depending on what field of our life we're dealing with, but the adult energy is when we are no longer being controlled solely based on visceral emotions that we are getting based on a reaction from an external circumstance. There is no freedom in that. If we are solely just responding to the environment around us, we have no freedom to choose for ourselves how we want to live. We have no freedom to become at all who we would like to become, because then everything is just, you're just forming yourself based on whatever's tossed your way. And then you begin to identify, like, oh, because this happened to me, this means I'm this and that means I'm that, when none of that is true. And so what we want to do in our life, one of our paths that we have to walk on, is shifting out of our child energy, our child archetype, our teenager archetype, into an adult archetype where we are able to look at emotions and temptations and addictions or patterns or unhealthy things for us, whatever, and we can feel the urge and we feel the temptation and we feel that pull and that addiction and even the part of us that feels that we have no control, and we let all of that be there and we choose something else despite that. And I think where a lot of people, and I myself, have gotten confused is we think that we have to like work on this part of ourselves, like the immature part of ourselves, until the problem goes away. Like, I have to work at this until I'm not addicted anymore, until I don't have the temptation, or until I'm not reactive anymore. And I find that the problem with that can be that in doing so, we're kind of playing with the energy that we don't want to be there, and we're interacting with it too much to the point where we kind of solidify more with it instead of choosing and becoming aware of a higher route of experiencing that thing. And so a good example, and the Bible is just full of good examples, like any sacred writing is full of these, but a good one is when Jesus is in the desert and he is out there alone, I believe it's for 40 days and 40 nights. And then Satan comes out to tempt him. And the whole time, Satan's just going out to tempt him. And if you look at the book of what Jesus does, he's not interacting with Satan. Satan's trying to, like, push him and poke at him and be like, oh, you need to prove yourself. You need to show me that you are, like, the Son of God, whatever, whatever. And Jesus doesn't see that, the darkness that is Satan, or that evilness, he doesn't see that as something that he has to overcome, or that he has to prove wrong, or that he has to prove to that evil thing what he is and what he isn't. Like, he doesn't do that. He simply, because doing so and interacting with that energy would take him off course and take him out of the centeredness of that connection with God. And that is how I would like to see these things also. Before, I used to see it as like, okay, I have this problem and now I need to overcome this part of myself. Or I need to work at this situation. I need to investigate more. I need to interact with this person more to see what the problem is, to see what my problem is, to see what their problem is so I can fix it and I can overcome this or whatever. And the trick of it all is knowing that when we do that, we're enmeshing ourselves more with this unclean, this dirty energy that then confuses us more or it can take us off track more. And so why I love Rabbi Leib Chaim's response is because he talks about something that I think I definitely forgot and a lot of us can forget because so many people around us aren't living in accordance with this right now, especially with like New Age stuff where we have again taken a disproportionate, unbalanced approach to the dance between emotions and intellect. Before, we would just kind of operate from intellect and we didn't really have space for emotions. You know, most of history, recent history until like now there's this shift where people are like, okay, no, we should completely listen to emotions. And the danger in that is this, is that we can become the child again within these aspects of ourselves, because even if we know better and if we're listening to these emotionally reactive parts of ourselves and thinking, oh, I have this emotion, so that's true, or I have to like change my course or change my actions or change my decisions or change my discernment, my ability to discern based on this emotion. And I always equate it with this analogy of like a parent when they're driving and there's a kid there's a kid in the back of the car throwing a tantrum and they're kicking and they're screaming and they're crying and they're like all red in the face, there's snot everywhere, and it's like deafening screeches that make your ears bleed. And an adult would never ever be like, okay, you know what, like you take the front seat, like you go drive, or you know what, because you're crying, because you're upset, we're gonna go back home now and like I'm just gonna forget all the errands, the chores, or like wherever we're going, the destination, I'm just gonna forget all that because you are upset, little baby. And that never happens. You would never do that. Because why? Because you know that the role of that thing toddlers aren't things, but you know what I mean, the role of the child archetype is to cry, kick, scream, be emotionally upset, be like whatever. That's part of it, and that's okay. And the adult isn't expecting the toddler to act anything but the toddler, but the adult within us does not let the toddler drive the car. We don't base our decisions on what the toddler within us is saying, and when we do, we're letting a toddler drive a car. We're letting a toddler drive a car, and we're seeing this, like we're in the passenger seat, or even worse, like we're in the back seat. We put ourselves in the back seat and we're like, why am I doing this to myself? And this is why that happens, is because it's a slippery slope where then we become afraid of what the toddler will feel, of what our emotions will be. Like we're afraid of what the possible pain can manifest within ourselves, can become, and we're so afraid to feel that, and we're so afraid to let that be there, than we would rather let a toddler drive our car and drive ourselves in circles, drive ourselves crazy, drive ourselves into dangerous, unhealthy situations, all for the sake of not hearing the screams, the pain, not hearing out the emotions, those visceral emotions that we have within ourselves to certain things sometimes. And in reality, what this looks like on different levels would be like when you are trying to cut out a food that's unhealthy for you, feeling that addiction, feeling that craving, feeling that part of you that's like, I literally will like pull my eyes out of my sockets to eat this thing right now, I need to, and letting it be there and observing it and not fighting it, and choosing something higher anyways, or seeing the part of us that is addictively craving attention from someone, craving attention period from anyone, right? Like, where does that come from? That's coming from a part of me that needs to be seen. I'm not giving myself attention. I'm not giving this part of myself attention. So I need to draw the intention inward and pay attention to my internal world. That is essentially what Rabbi Leib and I right now are talking about here. And it helped me so much. So I really hope it was just as helpful for you guys. And I think that I'm going to leave the episode here because I don't know what else to say. So I think that's my cue. But yeah, thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. I don't know what I'm going to do in the future because I do really like the regular interview setups that I have. But right now, I just found so many good audio from previous conversations that I want to play around with that and put that in here. So I think I'm gonna do that. And thank you guys. Yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you guys for keeping up with the podcast. And stay tuned for more episodes. And I'll see you guys next time.